Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We're back with the last part of our breakthrough series. We're running it back, y'all. We've been running it back, right? And this is the last one. Now, we know the Karate Kid viral video, my favorite little man, right? He's been teaching us some lessons, right? So far, we've learned that in order to experience breakthrough, first of all, we got to understand that falling is not failure, so we should not be scared to step out on faith. But when we do fall, we also need a friend for the fall, right? Better yet, we need to be that friend for when others fall. Then last week, we talked about the power of yet. That yes, there may be times when we feel like, I can't do this. But that's when God steps in and says, yet. You're going to need a special type of focus to be able to overcome this obstacle and experience your breakthrough. Today's message will focus on what should happen after the breakthrough. And that's the celebration. And that's the title of today's message. It's okay to celebrate. And because it's a fun message, I got on my Happy New Year Beach Santa shirt. Let's get ready to have some fun. Let's watch that little man Karate Kid viral video one more time.
Look how fast.
Run fast. Let's go, boy.
Don't fall. You gotta stay your feet.
Crazy they went for my boy. I'm talking about they went nuts. And Sensei led the way. I don't know if you saw, he was the first one. He had the board in his hand. And he just, I mean, it was awesome. And little man stood there like he was shocked. Like he didn't even believe he could do it. And then in a moment, everybody jumps on him. I love those moments because I think God responds the same way to us. I believe God is the one that's cheering us on, that's celebrating with us when we experience our breakthroughs. He loves us. He's rejoicing over us. He says the scriptures say that he sings over us. And the angels even rejoice. When did the angels rejoice? Well, one time they were celebrating was when Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." I love this. I love this. Even the angels know how to rejoice. But even they said, we're rejoicing because you all are going to be rejoicing. There's going to be great joy for you. Angel said, listen, the birth of Christ would cause great joy for all the people. Did you celebrate Jesus' birthday? Do you celebrate his life? Does Jesus bring you joy? The Savior, the Messiah, does he make you happy? Or does the thought of Jesus spark feelings of guilt and shame? If Jesus doesn't bring you joy, you're missing something. The angels were rejoicing when Jesus was born. I love that. The heavenly host praising God, excited about what was to come. When else do the angels rejoice? When one sinner repents. In Luke chapter 15, in verse 8, it says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, y'all know how we are with money. This silver coin was worth a day's wage. How much do you make in a day? That's how much this coin was worth to her. Now, you and I both know y'all would be turning the house inside out trying to look for this coin. Now, when she finds it, what does she do? She rejoices, but not only does she rejoice, she calls her friends and her neighbors and she says, "Rejoice with me, I found the coin." That's how the angels rejoice when they witness repentance. Now, my question to us is this: do our homes reflect heaven? How about our small groups? Do we party with the angels when people repent? I know when we sin, we're hurt. I know we mourn. I know we mourn when our friends fall into sin. I know that. But do we rejoice when they repent? Let me tell you, the Israelite people, they loved to party. They loved to celebrate. It was part of their spiritual DNA. I don't know anybody else that would party like the Israelites, except maybe for Puerto Ricans. Maybe we're a distant second. Listen, God actually made celebrations and festivals and holidays a part of the law. It was a requirement. What does that tell you about God? And what does that tell you about God's desire for us? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 1, it starts off saying, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." And then in verse 4, God says, "There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Unfortunately, what happened to God's people is when they would stray, they would actually get their timing all mixed up. You know how we do. That's what happened in Nehemiah chapter 8. After the Israelites had settled back into Jerusalem, they had built the wall, they had come back in and starting a community again, and they were back after the exile that happened because of their sin, because they strayed, because they rebelled against God. It was time to get back on the same page spiritually to seek God and really build that foundation moving forward. And so they asked Ezra. They asked Ezra to read the book of the law. And he did, and he preached the word clearly, him and the Levites and others. And it says that as they heard the word of God, the people began to weep. And that's amazing. That's, by the word of God, their hearts were just so soft to God's word. But the leader stepped in and they had to help the people out. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says that Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with the feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites too, they quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's words and understood them. Nehemiah stepped in. He was like, no. See, your timing is all wrong. It's a time to laugh, not a time to weep. It's a time to dance, not a time to mourn. And they did. It's okay to celebrate. They partied. They ate together. They shared food. They did it together and they had a blast. Why? Because they had a spiritual breakthrough. Now, I ask you this. Do you celebrate as much as you worry? Do you celebrate as much as you stress? Do you celebrate as much as you struggle? This passage teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do we see joy as a weapon against our weaknesses, against the spiritual attacks of the evil one? God does. I don't know about you. In my house, man, we celebrate everything. We celebrate touchdowns, especially if it's by the Florida State Seminoles or the Miami Dolphins. Sometimes the Atlanta Falcons
accidentally scores a touchdown.
I mean, we celebrate good food. I mean, I tell you what, a good Puerto Rican dish, like my mom expects me to start dancing. A little bob around that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I celebrate some good food. Of course, I celebrated my baptism, my salvation. Couldn't nobody tell me nothing that day. I felt so fresh and so clean. I mean, it was like amazing, right? I've celebrated my family's salvation. I've got to baptize so many of my family members and friends. It's been amazing. I remember years ago, I got to celebrate my grandmother, Tata. She beat cancer. She beat colon cancer. I remember celebrating that. And then being able to celebrate her salvation as we got to baptize her. That was a moment of celebration for me. I remember when Jordan Edwards let me know that she was valedictorian of Spelman College. I was like, wow, she really did it. A disciple of Jesus Christ is the top in her class at Spelman, where we have a campus ministry. I tell you, I went on a prayer walk and I ran down the street yelling and screaming and whooping and hollering. I don't know if I ever told you that, Jordan, but I did. It was like, yes, like, thank you, God. It was exhilarating. I've celebrated tax returns. Man, me and my wife, we pray for tax returns, right? And I remember recently our tax return, we were praying and we were united in prayer and it came back like really short. Like it was short. We're like, man, I don't know, God, but I'm going to be grateful. And then some told my wife, go check back with the accountant to make sure everything's done right. And after months of like staying on him, he finally checked back and said, oh, I made a mistake. I put this on the wrong line. This is what you're going to be getting. And it was our impossible prayer. We ran around the house. Our kids like, what happened? We're like, God came through. We celebrate gigs whenever we get an opportunity to be in a commercial or things like that as a family. We celebrate those gigs because we're all praying about those things together as a family. We celebrate unexpected checks in the mail. You know what I'm talking about? Like, man, those are moments for celebration. This year, I've celebrated baby Artis, little Reese Dorellis. Oh, man, what a moment of celebration. They've gone through so much. Two miscarriages. Now we're seeing the miracle, like, alive and growing and healthy. I celebrated like crazy. I celebrated my little sister Lexi's engagement. Her and Ramon got engaged a few months ago. That was amazing. I was like on top of the world. It's okay to celebrate. What have you celebrated for this year? And it's okay to celebrate for others. You know, so much of our culture is about tearing people down. Hey, it's okay. Celebrate others' victories. Be as excited about their victories and their answered prayers as you are about your own. And of course, I celebrated the fact that we bought a building. I remember the moment when it all seemed to just come together. And this is the moment where the previous owner, we made an offer, $75,000 less of what they were asking for. And I remember getting that phone call that they accepted our offer. They took off $75,000. And I remember making this video message for the brothers on the leadership team and sending it to them.
They accepted the offer, y'all. They accepted the offer, the counter offer. We're going to closing in 10 days, man. We brought that thing $75,000 down from $875 to $800. The impossible prayer was $800, y'all. They went for it. Let's go. Come on. Thank you for your prayers.
Listen, yeah, I was wilding out. It was amazing. What I do after that, I worship God. I praise God. I sang Waymaker like 13 times and cried out to him, right? I mean, it was just an incredible moment of celebration. The process is tough, but there's a payoff. And God not only gives us the freedom to celebrate it, he encourages it. And yet, this is one of the most overlooked disciplines of the Christian faith. We too often work too hard to experience breakthrough only to turn our attention to the next breakthrough without celebrating the one that God just gave us. We maximize the struggle, but we minimize the celebration. Even with social justice movements, the feeling can sometimes be like it's never enough. We have to always be angry. No, an example of this was earlier this year when Breonna Taylor's family settled a $12 million wrongful death lawsuit. It was a record settlement against the city of Louisville and the police department. And it, on top of the money, it promised more than a dozen police reforms that her mom hoped that would save another mom from experiencing the grief that she had to experience when police officers fatally shot her daughter. Still, her mom, you know how she felt? She was so nervous about signing those documents. She was so apprehensive. Why? In an article I read, she didn't want to be perceived as a sellout. After all that she's been through, she has to worry about what everybody else is going to think about this, about a victory, about something that she can take, she can celebrate in. Now, we know no amount of money is going to bring back her daughter. We know that, but that's a step in the right direction. And I remember this. I was like, man, why isn't anybody talking about this? Why is anybody posting this? This is good news. I don't think anybody celebrated this win. They decided they were going to wait for the grand jury to see if the police officers would be charged with murder. See, the problem is people, we just don't know how to celebrate the victories and use it as momentum toward the next win. It's happening right now. There's a vaccine for COVID-19 that has been approved by the FDA. But for some people, that's not enough. We can't celebrate that. No, we got to talk about all the conspiracy theories. We got to talk about all these other things, right? We just can't celebrate the fact that we're moving in the right direction. And I know sometimes we just feel like we don't want to celebrate too soon in case something bad happens, because then we'll be disappointed. But it's okay to celebrate the victories and use it as momentum toward the next win. We may not be where we want to be all the way, but we can celebrate the victories along the way. This is one of the reasons why we decided to run this breakthrough series back, because we decided we're not going to let Satan hijack 2020. We're not going to let him do it. There is so much to be grateful for. You know, and I'll be honest, I don't want to ever minimize the real challenges that we face, because there have been times for mourning. There have been times for grief. But let me tell you, as we go into 2021, I know we're going to be celebrating. If you're here, if you made it, as we celebrate New Year's, we need to celebrate. We made it through. Now, for some, we know it's been the worst year ever. It's been tough. But honestly, I've spoken to people that are like, 2020 hasn't been bad at all for me. It hasn't even been my worst year. Some say 2020 was great. It was great for them. Their dreams came true. They got engaged and they got married and they had their first child and their business boomed and they got a promotion and a raise and God has protected them, and or they got saved. They received salvation, right? One brother says, shoot, my years in the world before I became a Christian were way worse than 2020. It reminds me of that old saying that our worst day in the kingdom is better than our best day in the world. The point is this. You don't have to be an undercover celebrator, right? When we don't celebrate, we're robbing God of his glory and we're robbing others of the hope that your life can offer them. And we're robbing them of the opportunity to celebrate with you, to celebrate what God has done in your life. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Isn't that the truth? Now, we may not have a cure yet for the virus, and we may not have access to the vaccine just yet, but we do have the ability to have a cheerful and joyful heart, and that can be medicine to the soul. And let me tell you, a joyful heart is contagious. People want to be around a person who smiles and sings their way through life. I know that's my daughters, man. That's Layla and Arya. They sing and dance their way through life. And it brings me so much joy, even on my down days. Who has that been for you? Who do you know that's like that? Who are the people that are always there to bring laughter to others? Take a moment to encourage them and tell them thank you for who they are. Have you stopped singing? Have you stopped dancing? Have you stopped laughing? Why? Why? Because this year wasn't what we thought it would be, because we experienced loss and heartache. I understand. I understand that life isn't playing out the way we wanted it to, but we can't let anyone or anything take our joy, because when we let Satan take our joy, we're also letting him take our strength. How do we gain joy? How do we celebrate when we're down, when we're not feeling it? How do we do that? It starts with gratitude. That's the easiest way to start rejoicing. That's the easiest way to experience joy again. If you have not done so, take some time to write down the things you are grateful for in 2020, the things in your life that God has done. You don't have to be an undercover celebrator. You can write those things down and you can celebrate as we count down 2020 and we go into 2021. Let's thank God for all that he has done and all that he will do. Because for Christians, we know that the best is always yet to come. And heaven is our ultimate celebration. The best day on this world will not compare to what we will experience in heaven. And we know, as we get ready to take communion, that Jesus is the reason why we even get a chance to celebrate now and celebrate for eternity. Let's take communion right now and let's just thank God. Let his joy and this celebration that he brings to us, like, fill us through his Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, God, that you are a God of joy, of happiness, and you call us, you command us to rejoice and to sing and dance and praise to you, Father God. Thank you so much, Lord God, for these moments that we get to celebrate, Lord. Please help us, God, to be able to face the hard times, but to also celebrate the good times. Help us understand that it's okay to celebrate. Help us to celebrate Jesus more than anything else, God, just like the angels did when he was born. And God, I just pray that we can see Jesus as a source of good news and of joy, not a source of guilt and shame, Father. As we take communion, this cracker that represents the body of Christ that was broken for our sin, this juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins so that we can have salvation, God. God, help us, God, to really be grateful for everything that Jesus has done for us and will continue to do for us, especially the fact that we get to spend eternity celebrating with you. God, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.